right, here we are on another episode of Fry Bread Journeys. Welcoming back to the studio, we have Amy Dollar and Chris Crane. Good morning, ladies, and welcome.
I
always do that every time I cut you off.
I'm sorry.
I've got to get better at
that. How do you say hello in Choctaw? Oh,
halito.
There you go.
Do you know how to say good morning in Choctaw?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll I would if I had my glasses.
We're working on it. Well, hey, it's a great to have you ladies on board once again. What do we have going on in the world of Fry Bread Journeys?
Lots. Amy doesn't have her glasses, so she's half blind here. And she said she's going to have to trust me on the stuff I typed.
I can see some
of it. So, first thing, we want to thank Sten Jotti.
Sten Jotti, yes.
The song, Greasy Fry Bread, letting us use it. We appreciate it. And we're first also going to thank our sponsors, Charlie Crane.
Yes.
Bill Davis likes to call him Smiling Charlie. I don't see it all the time, but he smiles a lot. And the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeeville. We appreciate your sponsorship.
And if you're not a member of Cooperative Credit Union, now is a good time to go and find out about the benefits and sign up.
That's true. So I looked today in history. The only kind of, actually, in the state of Tennessee, today is American Indian Day. It is state observance. So
Very cool.
American Indian Day.
Yes.
And also today in 1890, the Sequoia National Park in California was established. There's some trivia for everybody.
I think that is a very cool trivia. I like that.
And we were talking about today's birthdays. What was it last month? We got all excited because it was Kristen Chenoweth. But Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker,
oh,
70
yeah,
years
that's
old
right.
today. Will Smith.
I was going to say, I see the Fresh Prince on here.
Yeah, Fresh Prince. Getting jiggy with it. And what's weird is Catherine Zeta-Jones. You know who I'm talking about, who she is? Catherine Zeta-Jones. She was in Chicago.
She's an actress.
Played Velma. Really pretty. And she's married to Michael Douglas, the actor.
Oh, okay.
Today is his birthday as well.
Gotcha.
But they're like, I don't know. It's one of those May-December things. She's considerably younger. They've been married for a lot of years, but he's like, I don't know. He's got to be pushing 80 or something, and she's like in her 50s.
Oh, wow.
I guess at a certain point it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know.
I think they do a movie together.
I've seen it work.
It works, so. The last thing that happened since our last show is I went to the Glass Mansion. Unfortunately, Amy didn't go with me. But my mom, Mary Hayes, and her friend Jeanette McVeigh made reservations through the Nowata Historical Society. And the Glass Mansion, it's not like the Brown Mansion by any means. But it's kind of a cool place built in the 30s by James Wood Glass and his wife, Eva. And he was from Winchester, Virginia, and the family had an estate. They've been there since the Revolutionary War days, called Glen Burnie. And he came out to Oklahoma and got interested in oil and made a lot of money and ended up starting to buy the other people who inherited the Glen Burnie. He was one of the heirs. He was buying their shares out. And after he passed, his son Julian Wood Glass did buy shares out and ended up turning it. And it's now the Shenandoah Valley Museum in Winchester, Virginia, and I think this is amazing.
I would like to get to
but
see that.
The gal that gave us the tour was really, really knowledgeable. She knew Mrs. Glass and Julian and had been out there to Glen Burnie and showed us there's some amazing artwork in there. And if you get the opportunity, I think I've pushed for Nowata Museum before, but call them and do that. And I will tell you the phone number there is 918-273-1191. And the tour was free, but they do take donations. And one of the things that Jamie and Carson Langworthy that have Beach Bum Coffee Hut, they went and met us down there too. And the kitchen was done, like, I guess pink.
Oh, yeah.
Was that popular? Was it 30s
or 40s?
A lot
of pastel pinks, greens,
and it was
30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, it was that weird kind of, I think they called it salmon or something.
Yep.
It was odd. She liked a lot of pink.
Yeah,
there was a lot of pink.
That's very, very common. Your salmon, your teal,
yeah,
your kind of aqua colors, yeah.
Because your shirt kind of is a little retro.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I think
that is a very cool shirt.
Vintage looking.
It goes with the headphones on the radio background.
I know. Yep.
But it's an interesting place, and they did a great job. And then Amy, I didn't get to go with her. I have been to where she went.
I know. I kind of I went for my Southeast Kansas tourism region. We all met in Galena. And I was really excited to get to go to Galena. And then I thought, well, I'm on my way back. I want to go check out the Baxter Springs Museum. So I did that as well. I grew up really close to Route 66. So in Yukon, it's called 39th Street. And then So I worked at a Sonic there as a high school kid. I never really thought much about Route 66. I knew it was a mother road. I knew it took you all the way to California, and that's where you went during the Depression, and I didn't really think anything positive a lot of it. But now, as I'm in the tourism, I learned people come from all over the world to go to Route 66.
Well, yeah, you actually got to work in a drive-in on Route 66.
Yeah, I did. I made good tips, too, back in the day. That was
Did you have roller skates?
No. Gosh, no. No, thank goodness. No, I did not do that. So technically, it was in Bethany, Oklahoma, and they did not make you wear roller skates. Shout out to them for that. But I did not know about the 13.2 miles in Kansas till the last couple of years. So it was very cool. There's all these cars. So it was decorated like a 50s gas station. It's the place we went. And I will give a shout out to the Gearhead Curios. It's a very cool gift shop.
Let me ask you, because you posted the pictures. And I know when we went to Joplin and Galena Saturday or Friday. And when we came back, there's a thing right before, near Baxter, it's after Galena, and it says Old 66 Scenic Route, and it's kind of off of the highway, and you follow it, and it looked like those cars and everything, that might have been off of that.
I think so.
And you go by that old bridge, too.
Yeah, see, I didn't go by the old bridge. I saw lots and lots of pictures of it,
but I did not go. It's pretty cool stuff.
It is very cool. I took pictures. Where I was standing in Galena was 595 miles from Tucumcari. That was very cool. They had a little sign. Yeah. That was my favorite thing to see.
I'm a big fan of Tucumcari, by the way.
Well, what...
I just know about it from
that. What did you think of
that?
I've been to that museum with kids on field trips many times. And one time, the first time I went, the downstairs was closed off.
Oh, it was so cool.
And so now, and then I went back and I didn't realize there was a downstairs, and it's big. And what did you... how long did it take you?
I did not get to see everything. I was kind of a little bit time constrained, but it was very, very cool. I loved it. That downstairs was open. That's where I got the pictures of the Coffeyville bricks. There's a whole like coal mining scene
it's
down
all
there.
It's Pitcher, Oklahoma.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and I love. And I went to the museum in Pitcher back
when
the kids
yep.
were little.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they gave us all a little piece of lead at the end of the tour.
It's like there's a little building there at Pitcher, but there's also, it's like a parking lot that you can drive up in there, and they've got some stuff. It's really creepy to drive through
there. It is. They do have a little exhibit. The original museum building, I think some of it's still standing, but most of it's gone.
To.
Yeah. Wow.
The town but was the still downstairs there at this
in
Baxter,
Baxter Springs is great.
Yes. Nothing, but... all that stuff from Pitcher, and I thought at least some place is displaying this.
Yes.
And
that explains
still around
why
there.
I told Nick a couple of those mining pictures looked really familiar in a weird way. And it's not that I study a lot of mining history, but that explained it because it felt very like I was looking at a lot of stuff from the Pitcher Museum.
Yep.
I mean, Sullivan's 22 now, and she was still in a car seat when I went to Pitcher Museum.
My.
So it had been a long time, but some of that stuff did look familiar. But the museum was awesome. I loved all the different, there was some Dalton stuff. There was that Battle of Fort Blair and everything that happened there with Captain Quantrill, and I really like that history, so that was really interesting. Bonnie and Clyde did some robberies there. A lot of people went and robbed Baxter Springs, so that was pretty interesting.
They had that whole area with nothing but Native American, the different tribes.
I loved that.
They've got their individual, something from each tribe, and there's some artwork up there. And I, because I knew you'd gone, I wrote down that it is also free of charge.
It is. I was going to say, it is free of charge.
The hours
so definitely go check
are
it out.
Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4:30, Sunday from 1 to 4, and they're closed on Monday. So don't go today. And again, it's free.
It is.
But donations are very much welcome. The other thing I liked a lot was they had a whole big display about Mickey Mantle.
Yes.
So if you don't know who Mickey Mantle is, there's something wrong with you. You're not American.
Yeah, it's one of the best museums around, really. It is really good. They even have a little brick display there. Mm-hmm. They've got a bunch of different bricks from the area.
I did share some of those on Fry Bread Journeys. I shared some Coffeyville bricks. And took bricks. I have all kinds of pictures of the bricks because they are pretty cool looking.
They had like those little rooms. I call them kind of vignette rooms, like where was a general store. There was a dresskeeper shop all that. And that's what kind of gave me the idea about what we did over at the Dalton Museum. I was thinking, this is kind of cool.
You could peek in the window.
Yeah, kind of looking back in the past.
Like peeking in through one of these, and you could see the whole layout of like a parlor, like an 1800s parlor and stuff like that. And it was very cool. And the cemeteries there are very interesting. I went to between Baxter and Galena, there was a little cemetery off the side of the road, and it was called Stevens Cemetery. And I went there. Oh, cool.
It's creepy.
I took all kinds of pictures.
Even though it's on the highway, yeah.
I was like, go look at that little rough-looking cemetery. I was like, I want to go there. So, yeah, it was very cool and very interesting. A lot of older graves, and some of them are kind of hard to read, but it was very interesting. Then the Baxter Springs cemeteries are pretty cool. You know, they moved from that one. They moved the Confederate soldiers to a different to a different place, like in Virginia or someplace. They're not there.
They're not there anymore.
No, I thought that was. I thought I was going to get to see them, but they were not there anymore. Nope, they have they separate but equal, I guess. So they're going to move them over to. They moved them to Virginia somewhere.
I'm looking around here. We know we want to talk about. I heard you say in the commercial about this Saturday, you got to come out to Native American
yes.
Fellowship, folks.
It's
having
be
the
lots of fun.
Fourth annual Native Unity Gathering from 10 to 3. I've talked about it several times anytime I'm on the radio. I did find out the name of Mike Passatopa, we knew was going to be there, and his group used to be called Dancing Eagles, and they're called the Tulasi Intertribal Dancers. And I think Tulasi is the old Indian name for Tulsa. So it's that area. And then you're going to have the Wild Horse Creek Singers will be drumming. And then
the
Bill Davis.
Wichita?
I don't know where they're from. Oh. And then Bill Davis, if you were at the branding event, those people are coming back.
Oh,
the
nice.
White Wind Singers
okay.
are going to come back. So we're going to have two groups. And
ah.
I know. I think that'll be great. So we've got all sorts of stuff going on. Pretty sure Chief Hoskins is going to be showing up for this. And James, I'm afraid you're not going to be the one out
well,
there.
Well, I may. We've got a bunch of remotes on Saturday. We're juggling them all around, so I may be out there.
Okay.
We'll see.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
We'd like to see you out there.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun last year.
What are we talking? Blowgun, tomahawk demonstration. I sent out a text this morning to a bunch of the college kids saying, hey, you know, reminder, we need you to come out and help. We appreciate it. So if you want to volunteer and help us out, come out 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll put you to work. We know that there will be some other tribal counselors there. District 11 is Victoria Vasquez, who's our counselor in this area. And then District 12 is Doris Smith-Petzkowski. And Johnny Jack Kidwell, who's at large, will be coming. I'm hoping I invited some other counselors, and I'm hoping they'll come. Mike Shambaugh, Melvina Shot Pouch, if you're listening, Kevin Easley. But we think it's going to be neat. Amy and Lyle Martin, who is president of the Cooperative Credit Union, will be our MCs if Amy doesn't have a grandchild that morning.
He's supposed to be, if he doesn't come between now and the 29th, he will be induced on the 29th. So hopefully he'll, if he is induced that day, he will be out and I will be there.
And she'll have lots of pictures.
I will have lots of pictures. I will share them on Fry Bread Journeys probably as well as my,
That's fine.
As well as my personal page. I probably can't share them on the tourism page. It doesn't really bring people to Coffeeville, but,
never
but you can check him out on Fry Bread Journeys because he is going to be, you should see his, they do 4D ultrasounds.
Yeah.
You should see his little face. You haven't already seen. He's so cute.
It's amazing.
So I'm very excited for that. But I want him to be able to have his birthday right around Native American Unity
yeah.
Gathering. So like
that's
that way it'll be lots
year.
Of fun. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So I'm very excited for that. But I'm excited to get to co-MC and honored. I love the event. It's a lot of fun. Like my daughters look forward to it every year. Maisie Jane's already like hyped up. She's already been asking me. I had to message Gloria about youth group when she was like, I'm ready to get back going. And so she's very excited to go to the event. It's a lot of fun for people who have never been. You know, it's open to the public. It's cultural awareness, but it's not like serious. It's a lot of fun. There's the children's tent and there's dancing and singing and just fellowship. And I'm one of these days I'm gonna learn how to throw that tomahawk.
Well, I want to take the opportunity to thank
fun.
Tara Rexwinkle, who's director of Indian education for Oklahoma Union Schools, because she is providing a bunch of the craft stuff to be used at the craft tent and some of the workers. And then Erin Lee, who is director of Indian education here in Coffeyville at 445. And she's providing a lot. They're taking a lot of stuff through their grants and doing stuff. In fact, she purchased through Nichols 150, 160 pounds of pork. And my husband smoked it last weekend or weekend before last. So we've got it ready. And he's making coleslaw.
Yum.
She's getting buns from the yolk. So, I mean, Kay Anderson's coming to do fry bread and grape dumplings. And Kay's Delaware. And that day, that weekend, is also Delaware Days. And so I think after we're done at 3 o'clock and get some stuff cleaned up, a bunch of us are going down to Copan to the Fall Leaf it's not ceremonial grounds, but fall leaf grounds where they have their the Copan powwow, and it's a cultural grounds. And we're going to go down there and check that out. And then we have our tomahawk challenge the next day.
I think that is but, very cool. I've been seeing pictures.
We went out and practiced Saturday. Went to Oshleda and practiced with them for a while. And they're getting good. I'm a little worried. They're getting too good. They're getting just a little too good.
Better watch it. Chris is coming for you.
I don't know. But we don't have a giveaway this month. I just didn't. But I do have some fry bread mix that I will be doing giveaway for at our October.
Oh.
Yes. And
fry
so
bread
I will
mix.
It's flour. Fry bread flour. Okay. And I think it has directions for people who have never made it. So it'll help tell on there to add this much water and tell them what to do. But I bought some prepackaged
stuff.
Now,
here's a question for you. I feel like we had a question a couple of days ago about what is your favorite kind of cookware. You know, do you like the nonstick or whatever? I feel like a cast iron would be the only way to go when you're making fry bread. Do you have thoughts?
I have
That's what I use.
Cast iron. I mean, if you're going to fry anything, cast iron's probably the best thing. And then, you know, you just kind of wiping it down.
Except
you don't want to scrub it.
No.
You don't want to scrub it.
It's not my favorite to make eggs.
No,
in,
I like
except for
stuff.
My little omelet. I have a little cast iron. I call it my omelet.
A little
pan.
Tiny one?
And it's about, you know, about that big, I guess. The audience, you can. I like the Hale description over there I saw the other day. About the size of a large pancake.
Did you know that there's a size bigger than grapefruit now?
What is it?
DVD.
Oh.
Isn't that terrifying? DVD
I didn't
size
see, I didn't
Hale.
I see that on there. I
it
have
goes
to look.
All the way up to from marble to grapefruit.
Yeah,
we have a Hale chart in here.
Okay. One inch is comparable to what? Like,
we got 1 inch is quarter.
Yeah. So then
and then
they
walnut
have...
is an inch and a half. And yes. Also teacup. That's my favorite. Is 3 inches.
Teacup size hail. I always golf ball size hail or
yep.
pea size
yep.
hail, but
yeah, but then it has yeah. That's that they have the bigger. I thought that was very interesting.
I always think Coffeeville size hail, which is the one that held the world record for so long.
It's 14 or so inches in circumference,
and you can see a replica
yeah.
of it. What always got me about it was they did a cast or whatever. How much of it
melted
with, before they did the cast?
They're running it into the freezer, you know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was obviously bigger than that. It's pretty, but it's on display at the Dalton Museum.
It
it's got
is
its
on
own
display.
Little case.
There's a picture of the boy who found it in the article, and it is very interesting.
It is. It's pretty neat.
I fried the last time I made fry bread, which wasn't in between the shows. I used avocado oil because I was trying to find a fresher, like a not a fresher oil, but try a different oil, and it worked really good. Mm. So it did not make it. It did not make it too.
Well, do you want me to give the fry bread recipe? For this, we decided in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, which was, and basically, sopapillas, they are a variant of fry bread. That's all they are.
They're a cousin.
They're a cousin. It's just the difference to me that I've got a recipe here for New Mexico's sopapillas. It's basically the same thing, except instead of, you cut it in squares, and instead of poking a hole, you don't, because that's what makes it puff up even more. So it was 2 cups of all-purpose flour and 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt, and you whisk them together and you make a well, and you pour in 3/4 cup of milk and 1 tablespoon of honey. Very interesting.
See, I got the honey.
Make a dough. I think that was, well, it says after too. Let it rest for 20 minutes, roll it out to 1/8 inch and cut it into squares, heat your oil, and it did say in cast iron. So there's... professional chefs say that. Drop it in and they will puff up. So then just flip it. I think they probably flip over easier too. And then cook it and drain it and serve it with some more honey.
Don't they usually sometimes put like powdered...
powdered sugar on it? Hey, I don't
cinnamon,
think...
Sugar. Cinnamon sugar,
yes.
That's what, yeah.
They were serving at Willow Rock during Christmas season. When you went down, you could go in there and get fry bread. And they had some with chocolate drizzled on it. Oh, what the heck.
Wow.
There was...
Wow.
Well, Erin, when we had her Native Day, Food Day, she brought maple syrup, and I'm not even a big fan of that, but it was good with powdered sugar and then dipping it in maple syrup. So I don't think there's a wrong way you can do this.
Maisie has had the syrup with it. She said she really likes it. I prefer mine savory or plain and cold, but she really likes the sweet.
And I know we're running out of time, but today I brought vinegar pie. So I would like you to try that. And
is there a backstory on
the
vinegar
only
pie,
thing
Chris?
That I have is I thought it was a Depression era recipe, and it was actually started back east in the 1850s. They made it, and they didn't use granulated sugar. You didn't have it. You had molasses, sorghum molasses.
James, you don't, your face.
You know, okay, I was expecting like some vinegar, but it's really, really good.
There's no vinegar. There's no vinegar.
Yeah, because I'm like vinegar, I'm like, ooh.
This recipe was 4 eggs at room temperature, and I beat in 1.5 cups of sugar and 1/4 cup of butter that was melted and cooled off. So, because if you put it in while it's hot, it'll make the eggs curdle. You don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then 1 teaspoon of vanilla and 1.5 tablespoons of white vinegar. And then you just pour it into an unbaked pie crust and put it in the oven, 350. And I think I cooked it 40 or 45 minutes. It'll puff up. The sugar gets on the crust, makes a little crust on the top. I asked my mother, you like it?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. My mom said, it was really easy. And mom said, I talked to her and she said, that is a chess recipe. And she said, the only difference is instead of the vinegar, she uses like 2 tablespoons of lemon juice.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think it's great.
Did you say chess?
What chess? Like a lemon chess pie?
Yeah, why did they call it chess?
My great Aunt Mary one time made a chess pie and brought it to my dad's in Enid for Thanksgiving. I'm hoping my families might remember this. And it was really, really good, but I don't remember it tasting like this. I remember it tasted more like buttermilky, maybe, or something. But
I mean, there's no lemon in it. Yeah, it just kind of came up. It was like I was telling Penny back here that I remember my daughter asking me, she thought when I made a pecan pie that I placed each pecan in a bit. I said, no, they float.
Which is weird.
I know. And the way they all kind of line up and everything, it is strange. And a lot of people thought that, but I'm glad you guys like it because I've left the rest of it, and I will want that pie. That is not a pie pan. That's my glass Pyrex. I'm going to get that back.
I do try to watch over that to make sure.
I didn't
sure
pick
that
up the plate from last night.
It's back
night
there.
I'll get it.
I did. Someone might have thrown it away, but I got it out.
Well, Shay,
I'll buy him Shay. He probably threw it away. Well,
big Wado to
Shay
Chris.
Needs to did you try it? He tried.
I have to say,
it is really good. Big Wado to you for making.
Well, I know that. I know John wanted to try it. He was very concerned last month. He wasn't going to get any of that lemon blueberry.
Oh no, he said he was back there. And he said, "Step away from the cake."
I think that's pretty mm-hmm. good. Well, I do have on here. We always thank Charlie and Lyle and the credit union for doing this, and I do want to make sure I get some words in about the credit union. If you don't know, the Cooperative Credit Union is located over here, not far from us, on Knight Street at 313. And I just want to, some of the advantages to using a credit union are you've got lower fees, you get better interest rates on your loans, you get more personalized financial services, and voting rights, because you are a member. Once a member, always a member.
Yes.
And the other thing that I like about credit unions, it's the community focus, which Lyle, CCU does this for our being a show, and I think that's pretty cool. So you need to head down there and start an account if you don't already have one, or take a loan out.
Borrow
some money.
I think when you do have an account there, and I'm gonna have to get the right information from Lyle, so I'm sorry if I butcher this, but I think that they donate to like the Brown Mansion or different organizations
in
town.
No, he told me
that. Friends of the Mansion. I think it might be Friends of the Mansion.
It's Friends of the Mansion.
And which is a great organization that helps, as a partner to the Historical Society. So
exactly.
That is their community. And you see them everywhere. You see them at the Farm and Home Show.
Oh, they're always doing stuff.
You see the employees out working in the community or volunteering. And so they're like, I think I feel like I know most of them, and I don't go in there very often, so they're a very, very in touch with the community bank. A good place to have to be your bank of choice.
Oh, I also wanted to say we've got during this, we've been doing a raffle that we do at NAFI, and we will finish up selling tickets on the 30th, and the drawing will be at 2:00, and the prizes are pretty cool. We have a set of 4 Pendleton mugs that we will give away. They're big, tall ones, about the size of that one, Amy.
Those are really nice mugs, the Pendleton mugs.
And then a Pendleton blanket, which was donated by the Shawnee Tribe. Thank you. And I think Carolyn Foster Green's picking that up for us and bringing it, and it was her taking care of that. We also have a $50 or $60 gift card from Nichols, which can be used at the meat market. And then we have a one-night stay at the Hard Rock with dinner for two.
That's a very good price.
So I bought tickets today. Sorry, honey. I bought a lot. But I wouldn't mind any of those gifts. And we will sell some there, but we're doing pretty good this year for that.
Well, good. Well, and Baylor will be in tomorrow at the Chamber of Commerce for a little bit in the morning, and you can come and buy tickets from him there.
Yep.
Because I was just thinking I'm going to make sure I get my tickets in the morning. So.
Well, and I think you and I also, before we end, want to get a little plug in for the October. We're doing the Haunted
history tours downtown. Yes, it is Amy and I.
Yes.
We're doing the tours, as last year.
And it's lots of fun.
Wait, it's the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. Ooh. Don't miss out that one. That's going to be the best one.
And then Thursday the 19th and Friday the 20th of October. And they start at 8 o'clock, so we'll meet down at the Chamber. Which night was the adult night?
The 19th is the adult night.
Thursday.
So 21 plus. And we'll have some creepier stories and some...
Yeah. Sometimes you don't really get to say a lot of the morbid... kind of gross stuff because you've got younger people I don't want to freak them out entirely, but
I got a super good one for that night. I'm excited about.
We've been working on, and you have to realize they're all true.
We are all true.
Now we might elaborate a little. We might take
a few liberties. Well, we're storytellers. We just tell good stories.
That's exactly. We might, just for theatrical purposes, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
But they're all based on true stories,
yes,
for sure. But I did a little research yesterday on some spooky stories, trying to make sure I had some good ones. And in that, I did a little research on, ended up with some Delaware tribe history on that. So it was kind of interesting. You mentioned Delaware days. So learning about the land that they had gotten from the Cherokee and how that worked. And like, it was kind of interesting.
There's a friend of mine named Christopher Hill, and he was actually one of the drummers last year at the Unity Gathering. And he does a podcast. I don't know what it's, but it's about, they do a lot of Bigfoot, some scary stuff. And then, they'll post it, and it's some of it, I'm like, gives you kind of chills. And he asked me a couple of times, what do you got down here? What do you got? I want to know. So we'll have to help him out with that.
I think that is very cool.
I know.
You're going to have to give me the name of that podcast, because...
I'll find it for you.
My mom has been telling me about Caney, Oklahoma, and she said that since she was a little girl, she's been hearing about Bigfoot down in Caney, Oklahoma. So there must be lots of Bigfeet around, so...
Well, keep the shoe salesman busy, at least.
I know. So I don't have a lot more. Like I said, I'll post that recipe for the sopapillas on there. I will post the recipe. I took a picture of the pie, and I will post a recipe of that. But like we talked about, it's either going to be molasses or buttermilk. My husband's pushing for buttermilk pie, which I think would be more of a custard type thing. And I don't know if I would like, I'm not big on custards. I don't know why.
You wouldn't consider this custardy?
I don't know.
This kind of reminds me of, the lemon bars, kind of the middle of that. Yeah. Without the lemon, again, and a little bit less
kind of a
dense.
I think of custardy more like a, what is it, the flan?
Like
I
a pudding.
I think it might be right, more like curd.
It's really eggy, really, really eggy. Oh, they also had a variant on this recipe where they would use only egg yolks and then separate them, and the whites they made meringue and put that on top.
Oh, okay.
And I hate meringue, so I wasn't going to do it, guys. There's that picky. Not as picky as Matt Jordan.
Wow, no.
But I don't like meringue, no. So I just don't know why.
I don't think it needs a meringue. I think it's almost the consistency of pecan pie. We were talking about pecan pie
I was trying to pinpoint
it.
Which, that's what's pecan pie. It's eggs and...
And a lot of sugar.
And syrup. Syrup.
If you gave it a different name, I think if we rebranded vinegar pie, it could really take off.
Because I'm not a vinegar fan. That's why I'm like, I'm thinking it's going to be gross, but it was not at all.
So what you talked about earlier about mock apple pie.
Mock apple pie.
Why couldn't we call this mock chess pie?
Mock chess pie. And then we have to figure out what a chess pie is, because no one knows.
No one really knows.
Is it for, like, when you have a chess gathering and you eat it?
I don't know. There's a question asked.
I'm going to call my cousin Pam. She'll tell us about a chess pie.
We can just look it on the internet.
I know, but this is not as fun. We can surmise.
It's way more fun to call people that you haven't talked to in a long time.
That's right.
Say, hey, do you remember that chess pie your mom made that one time?
Why?
That's way more fun.
Well, that's what my mom said. She said, a lot of chess pies have cornmeal in them, and I don't know what that's all about. But she said, I don't put that in her lemon, and she makes a really good lemon chess pie. This didn't seem as tall. Does that make sense? I mean, hers seemed thicker somehow, and she said it was almost exactly the same. So maybe I did something wrong, but it still tasted good.
Blame the elevation or something. That's what
there
I would
go.
Do.
There you go.
So as we run out of time here, unfortunately, once again, I do want to make sure that we hit the Native American Unity Gathering one more time. So the folks just tuning in.
Saturday, September 30th, 10 to 3 at 215 Oklahoma Street in South Coffeyville. And if you want to come volunteer, come volunteer. Come for an hour. Come for 3 hours. Come for all day. You're going to have a good time. Plenty of free food.
It's really, really fun. I mean, you don't even have to worry about lunch at all.
No, you don't. But bring a lawn chair, because we're limited on seating, and there'll be craft vendors.
Smiling Charlie, one of our sponsors, has cooked and is serving, and Scooter Howard's Cowboy Beans. Amy will be there. Well, you'll see Amy and I both there. Yes.
Are we going to have the dumplings? The
grape dumplings, and fry bread, hot dogs, snow cones, dancing, drumming. What else? Indian Sign Language. And Mike Passatopa has a book coming out, and I told him I've got a copy. I'm going to have him autograph it.
Oh, and the storytellers.
Robert Lewis isn't going to be there, unfortunately. No. But I think Abraham Bearpaw will be there and will do some talk to us. And I also teach some of the kids, maybe teach a little stickball. And we have the kids' tents, and they're going to do baskets, corn bead bracelets, gorgets, which are a kind of necklace thing. And they'll have coloring books. And all this stuff is 445 Indian Ed and Oklahoma Union Indian Ed donating all this stuff. And
thank you to
445 has donated tons of stuff. They've taken care of the porta potties and lots of stuff. So
and
thank
we'll be
you to all.
Broadcasting it live.
Yes. And thank you to Cooperative Credit Union and Charlie Crane for sponsoring us today.
All righty.
Thank you guys very much.
Okay. Well, Chris Crane, Amy Dollar, thank you so much for stopping by. Can't wait to see you at the Native American Unity Gathering. It's going to be a great time. And we're looking forward to another edition of Fry Bread Journeys, this time next month.
It will be on,
I don't know.
The 23rd?
23rd, there you go.
23rd, that's a good
October
day.
October 23rd.
Okay.
All righty, ladies, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Donadago.
Yes.
I know how to say that.
Donadago.
Have a great rest of your day, and we got more open line just minutes away.